one with no connection with reality. No, no, our business is education. And what are they supposed to say? They cannot say anything. They have to shut their contaminated mouth. Bad breath. They have to, like Agasura, they have to shut their contaminated mouth because they can't say anything. There's nothing they can say. If they dare to try to say something lame, we say in America, lame means no substance and bad argument. If they try to say like that, then you say, so you place no value on education? No. You know, I see, I understand. You say we should shut down all the universities, huh? We should shut down, you're absolutely right. We should shut down IIT. We should shut down Delhi University because it's all useless. That's what you're saying, education is useless, right? No. I said ISKCON is an educational institution. Oh. And at some point they have to shut their contaminated mouth, isn't it? They cannot defeat you. You take the position, our business is education. Get their mind off of religion, because they want to say, in this modern society, religion is irrelevant. That's why this is one of our major preaching themes. What is the relevancy of Christian consciousness in the modern age? Because they're brainwashed. 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 You know, Prabhupada liked that. The subject of brainwashing, he loved that subject of brainwashing. Sometimes reporters would bring up about brainwashing in the 1970s. The demons were accusing us of brainwashing the youth and all that. So, any of you know Prabhupada's answer? You know.
You might have said that. I don't recall that specific.
I don't recall that specific quote, but that's a good one. That's a direct quote? That's ecstatic. Huh?
Yes.
Who's the concept? And another quote is that, yes, we're washing the brain. Yes, it's full of dirty things, you know. We are washing the brain. What is the problem? It is full of dirty things. All right, so now, this is a very ecstatic subject matter. What is the real purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement? We have to know to explain it in such a way that nobody can say anything. You have to get their mind, the art of preaching. Of course, you people, Rasala, you're sometimes preaching field also. You're out in Harinam now these days, Harinam, and book distribution. So you have to learn the art of preaching, how to convince people of the value of this Krishna consciousness movement. Yes, you know. So I see some of our big preachers aren't here. Like with the man, he's not here, huh? He's out at Base Center. He was here for Guru Puja? Huh? He's taking a nap? So those of you who are in the preaching field, it's essential, required, you have to learn the art and science of preaching. And that we can get now, Guru Parampara, with Deshakalapatra consideration, we see now in ISKCON there are hundreds of highly empowered preachers now, you know. You could say that Srila Prabhupada, through his Shakti, has in one sense cloned himself. You know the word clone? He's expanded himself. If you want to understand something about Prabhupada, how that although he doesn't even have a material body, nevertheless, he's expanding himself through his Guru Tattva Shakti. So that now hundreds of highly qualified, there are hundreds of highly qualified preachers in ISKCON now, highly qualified. And there are thousands of less qualified. Well, that's all right. They're still trying to preach, you know. They just have to be trained. The art and science, that's all. So everyone sitting here knows something of the art and science of preaching. So the best thing is, in the secular age, the pollution from the media, the pollution from the newspapers, the television, they're polluting with poison. They're poisoning everybody with the conception that in modern times, secular life is all in all. And we have to challenge this. If secular life is so good, why everyone's suffering? Then if they try to say, oh, everyone's not suffering, why? Don't be so pessimistic, really. I always make this challenge. Everyone's not suffering, huh? Okay, fine. When was the last time you went to the intensive care unit of a hospital? I dare you! Go to the intensive... Sign up as a volunteer at a hospital for a few days. Go there to the hospital and see how much enjoyment there is. We should challenge people, not let them get away with this rubbish, that there's no suffering in this world. Rubbish. We can't let them get away with this. We have to challenge that concept, you know. I mean, I was in the hospital myself, so I had free rein to wander around the intensive care unit. So at first, you know, then after they put my body back together, I could walk again. And so then I was roaming around. Oh my God, these people, they're dying, conspicuously dying, lying there. Tubes in the throat. Oh my God, you know, hellish condition. And they're frightened. They haven't even seen the Yamadutas yet. They're already frightened. Huh? Well, sometimes the dying people, even in the West, see the Yamadutas. Sometimes dying people who are not yet left the body, they see the Yamadutas, and sometimes they shout, oh my God! Who are you? Who are you? Go away! Go away! Leave me alone! Leave me alone! And they're terrified. Go away! Who are you? Who are you? And the relatives think, oh, poor old Uncle Henry. He went senile in his old age. You know, yeah, he went crazy at his old age. Poor old Uncle Henry. They don't know that he's seen the truth. Yamadutas are coming with their ropes and their chains, and oh my God, they're putting the ropes around them. No, no, stop, stop! What is the use of saying stop to Yamadutas? You know, this is their service. Anyways, the science of preaching is a relishable subject matter. We have to learn that science, that's all. So let's proceed today's... Now, what's on the board? 26 and 27, or both are on the board? So this is the prayers of the demigods to the Supreme Lord. Yonas apatnar visham arjamanan. Yonas apatnar visham arjamanam is pramasamita meter. Yonas apatnar visham arjamanam. Devarshitiryan nishunitya eva. Deva Shidiryan Nishunitya Eva Krita Vataras Tanubhisvamayaya
Krita Vataras Tanubhisvamayaya
Kritat Masat Pati Yuge Yuge Cha Kritat Masat Pati Yuge Yuge Cha Tam Eva Devam Vayam Atma Daiva Atmam
Tamaiva devam vayamatma devatam
Param pradannam purusham vishvam anyam
Pradhanam Purusham Vishwamanam
Anyam Vrajam Sarve Sharanam Sharananyam Vrajam Sarve Sharanam Sharananyam Swanam Sana Dasyati Samhatma Swanam Sano Dasyati Mahatma Yona Sabatnar Visham Arjamanan Yona Sabatnar Visham Arjamanan Devarshidiryan Nishunitteva Devarshidiryan Nishunitteva Kridat Putaras Tanubiswamayaya Kridat Putaras Tanubiswamayaya Vivatma Satpati Yuge Yuge Cha Vivatma Satpati Yuge Yuge Cha Tam Eva Devam Vayam Atma Daivatam Tam Eva Devam Vayam Atma Daivatam Param Padanam Purusham Visham Anyam Param Padanam Sham Visham Anyam Vrajama sarve sharanam sharanyam Jama sarve sharanam sharanyam Swanam sanodhyasyati sammahatma Swanam sanodhyasyati sammahatma Next. Okay. Translation. By his inconceivable potency, inconceivable internal potency, the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands into various transcendental bodies as Vamanadev, the incarnation of strength among the demigods. And that's interesting. Incarnation of strength among the demigods. Parashuram, the incarnation among saints. Nrsingadev and Braha, incarnations among animals, and Matsya and Kurma, incarnations among aquatics. He accepts various transcendental bodies among all types of living entities, and among human beings he especially appears as Lord Krishna and Lord Ram. By his causeless mercy he protects the demigods who are always harassed by the demons. Hint, hint. Just watch how the demigods are lacing into their prayers what their actual agenda is. This is very important to catch this point, huh? Yes? These are not prayers that are offered in the mood of Srila Rupa Goswami. They're not. Although they're great prayers, they're wonderful, they're full of knowledge, but please catch this very important point. They're Sakama prayers. And I'll go back and I'll show you again earlier. It's very clever, actually. They're seeding their agenda into they're glorifying the Lord so nicely, but they're seeding their agenda into the prayers. This is a fact. Therefore, Sakama. Therefore, not pure devotees. A pure devotee won't do that. Prahlad Maharaj never did that. He never even asked for protection. He was about to be destroyed by so many evil things sent by his father. Yet, Prahlad Maharaj was always Dira. He never asked for protection. Haridas Thakur never asked for protection. The Lord granted automatically. You see? Just try to see the contrast here between Nishkama devotee, one who has no material desires, and Sakama devotee, who is saturated with material desire, but pious, doing the right thing. So, everyone say, Akama Savakama Vakaman. Again, Akama Savagama Boksha Kamadu
Dharma.
Oh, So this shloka was quoted hundreds of times by Srila Prabhupada, hundreds of times, and it's full of great importance. Full of great importance. It creates hope for the neophyte devotees. And practically speaking, the demigods, they are more or less kanistadakari, you know, more or less. They're not preachers. They're not preachers, very rarely. Narada Muni, practically speaking, is the only real preacher amongst them. They're interested in puja, jagna, protocol, make sure all your T's are crossed, make sure all your I's are dotted. Veda Veda Ratis, this is their program, you see. They want to maintain their position. They want to get a better salary from Kuvera, huh? They think they want a raise from Kuvera, huh? This kind of this is Sakama. Their program is, okay, if I do puja, then maybe Kuvera will give me a raise, huh? This conception, Sakama, after some fruit of thing. The opposite of Srila Rupa Goswami, so we'll come back to that. But listen to the language here. They're glorifying their Lord so nicely, and all of a sudden, they see in their actual agenda, you see? They plant it in the midst of these very high prayers. The prayers sound like a pure devotee, and all of a sudden, ding, in they put their material agenda. You see, that is exposes them as not being pure devotees. So I'll read the language again so you'll be sure to catch that. The Lord accepts various transcendental bodies among all types of living entities, among human beings, appears as Lord Krishna, Lord Ram. So they're full of knowledge in one sense. Full of knowledge. This is really pukka. This is really nice presentation of Bhagavad philosophy. Very nice, you know. By His causeless mercy, so they're acknowledging. He protects the demigods. Ding, ling, 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 ling. Hint, hint. Hello, hello. He protects the demigods. Did you hear me? I said, He protects the demigods. Yeah, you got that? You know, that's their program. Their real program, you see. They're offering a prayer almost as a formality. He protects demigods who are always harassed by the demons. So here they're starting to see their real concern above and beyond glorifying the Lord. This is the problem. That's Sakama, you see. He is the supreme worshipable deity of all living entities. He is the supreme cause, represented as the male and female creative energies. That's interesting. Represented as the male and female creative energies. So indirectly, they are glorifying Radha and Krishna. You understand? Male and female creative energies. Of course, somebody might say, oh, that's, you know, Shiva and Parvati. Okay, we don't have any problem with that. You want to say it's Shiva and Parvati? That's also true. No problem. But Shiva and Parvati, who is Shiva? You know, that they can't say. No Hindu, hardly any Hindu can say, who is Lord Shiva? They can't say. They really, truly, they can't, you know. Even if you ask the priest at a Shiva temple, who is Lord Shiva? All right, you guys were all brought up as Hindus. What is the priest going to tell you? Come on, I wasn't brought up as Hindu, so I never asked the local Hindu priest, who is Lord Shiva? In the hippie days, I started hearing about him because he was popular amongst the hippies because they heard that he smoked ganja. So then he became a very popular god. They thought, yeah, this is my god. He's cool. You know, God smokes ganja. Yeah, go Shiva, Shiva. I'm serious, you know. So he became popular in the West amongst the hippies because they said, whoa, this is my god. He smokes ganja. Yeah, cool. You know, this conception. So, you know, and there was a mantra that I, you know, this boom boom Mahadev, you know, that's what they said, you know, this bogus Bengali that I used to go, Bengali Sahadra, I used to go associate with, who is a Bal, one of the Bal, one of the famous, infamous bowls of Bengal, one of the top Sahaja Sampradaya, you could say. Boom, boom, Mahadev, and pass around the hashish, you know? It seemed like a really cool idea if you were a hippie, you know? So this way Lord Shiva was popular. So somebody might say this, he represented as the male and female, he's a supreme cause, represented as the male and female creative energy. So somebody could say that's Shiva Parvati, we won't argue, but who is Lord Shiva? But I'd like to know, what did your family priest tell you at a Shiva temple? What did he tell you? Huh? They say he's the Supreme Personality? What did your Hindu priest tell you? Alright, well, Bhagavan, if they say Bhagavan, we don't argue with that, because that's a legitimate name of Lord Shiva. But they think he's above all other gods, is it? The Shaivites? Is it? Or they just think he's part of the three gods, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. But because, of course, Lord Brahma gets left behind. You know that? I don't know the whole story. But Lord Brahma was cursed that he wouldn't be worshipped on this planet. You know, therefore, nobody places any importance on Lord Brahma. You'll see his picture sometimes in a Hindu painting or something, but nobody places any importance because he was cursed to not be worshipped on this planet. Some sage cursed him. So Lord Shiva, of course, is very big. So they say he's Bhagavan. They consider him above Vishnu? No. Part of the three. Equal. Yes, well, that's generally. But the name Bhagavan, that can be applied to Lord Shiva. We don't have a problem with that. That's in the Shastra also. That's why the mother of was it Taitreya? What is it? The three-headed incarnation who had Dattatreya, who had the who was praying to Bhagavan, who wanted Lord Shiva, Brahma, and Vishnu combined together. So Dattatreya came in that form, you know, that was her desire, you know. Which Bhagavan? So they were all they're all Bhagavan. But the Supreme, the demigods say he's a supreme worshipable deity. He is a supreme cause. So, Sarvakarna Karnam, this we understand, but representative of the male and female. So what the Hindu priest is not going to tell you is that Lord Shiva is a partial expansion of Lord Vishnu. The Hindu priest is not going to tell you that, right? Did your Hindu priest ever tell you that? Your Hindu priest, did they ever tell you that Lord Shiva is a partial expansion of Lord Vishnu? No. See, they don't know. We saw avidya, ignorance. So then, as far as Parvati is concerned, she is a partial expansion, a very many times removed. That means a very tiny expansion, very tiny, insignificant expansion of Radharani. A portion of a portion of a portion of a portion of Radharani's Shakti becomes a Parvati. And I once had a disagreement with a sannyasi who tried to tell me, "No! Bogus!" I said, "Maharaj, it's in the Brahma Samhita. Please go back, read the Brahma Samhita." I challenged him, "Please go back, read the Brahma Samhita." So he went back and read the Brahma Samhita. He came back to me very humbly. He said, "Actually, you're right. It's in the Brahma Samhita. We don't find it so much in the Bhagavatam, I don't think so. But it is clear from the Brahma Samhita that Parvati, Durga, all these are tiny, tiny, tiny partial expansions of Radharani." So, Therefore, even if you believe Parvati and Shiva are described here as the supreme cause represented as the male and female creative energies, but even if you think like that, but where are they coming from? So still behind that, Sarvakarna Karnam, the devas say the supreme cause, but nevertheless, are they really and truly referring to Krishna? They're not actually referring to Krishna. They don't go that far. You know, they say that the Lord descends as Krishna and Ram. That's very nice. But just like the Sri Vaishnavas believe that Krishna's expansion of Lord Narayan, and that Radharani's expansion of the goddess of fortune. They believe like that, and that's one of the major differences between Sri Vaishnavas and Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So, although different from this universe, he exists in his universal form, Virata Rupa. So, I mean, they have got so much knowledge, it seems. In our fearful condition, let us take shelter of him, for we are sure that the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Soul, will give us his protection. So they're glorifying him very nicely, but they're also making clear that they want something. They want something. So let's say, we haven't yet said the pranams, Prabhupada pranams. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Sabastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Shamanita Namane Namaste Sarvati Devi Gauravani Prajarane Sesha Sunyavari Paskodhyade Sadarane Omaginata Vrindasya Giragana Sadagaya Kunminidam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Taitanya Marubhistam Stapitam Gena Bhutale Bhagadamayam Dharati Svapadantiham Pandeham Sri Guru Sri Jada Paragamanam Sri Gurum Vaishnavansha Sri Rupam Sagritam Sagana Nagunitam Natam Stam Sijayvam Vaitam Savarutam Parijana Saitam Sikrishta Taitanya Devam Hirada Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Vizikanitam Sha He Krishna Guruna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Sagopika Kanda Nanudanda Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Pranamami Hari Pare Pancha Kapa Kuribhascha Kripa Sindhya Vaivacha Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Granadhar Sivasthiti Gora Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, 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 Rama. So Sakama. So here we see evidence that they are Sakama devotees. They want something. And they're not even disguising the fact that they want something. But once again, to understand the contrast, we have to look at the devotional mood of Haridas Thakur, who was in an extremely dangerous situation. Never once did he say, he didn't even say, "Oh my Lord, please protect me, you know, from this." He was so surrendered to the Lord that he just accepted, "No, no, whatever the Lord wants. If he wants I should die, I'll die. If he wants I should live, I'll live. If he wants I should be harmed, I'll be harmed." That is pure devotee. Nishkama. And the same with Prahlad Maharaj, not trying to seek out. There are some paintings, and there was used to be an old dramatized radio drama version of telling the story of Prahlad Maharaj based very accurately on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And they had a voice in the background of Prahlad, you know, the demons attacking, and he's just going, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." He's not asking even. I'm, oh, I am in great danger. Please help me. But so here we see this contrast. We've got to understand the contrast between Nishkama and Sakama devotee. This is one of the primary lessons in this section here. Meaning the prayers, the section, the prayers by the devas. And we'll go back a few verses and we'll see again how they have seeded their agenda into their prayer, although the prayers are very wonderful. So we see that devotees also, we also see ISKCON devotees can have knowledge, but then at the same time, side by side, run an agenda that is not pure devotional service. So if you want to do that, you can end up a deva also, you know. Especially important that devotees learn how to behave properly. We see that sometimes senior devotees forget proper Vaishnava behavior, even they're senior many years, and they forget how to behave properly. They behave sweet as nectar in presence of Guru, sweet as nectar, sweet as gulab jamun juice. That's pretty sweet. In the present, personal presence of Guru, oh Gurudev, you know, bow down, touch his feet, massage his feet, offer beautiful flower garlands, offer money, offer sweet words of praise, so many, I think, smiling face. And as soon as they get the mercy from Guru and a mandate from Guru, turn around and insult the Vaishnavas, mistreat them, be rude, sometimes obnoxious. This is going on. Don't become like that. You're fortunate, I'm telling you. Don't become like that. Because if you do, you will miss the point of Krishna consciousness. Those persons who become offensive to the Vaishnavas, either purposely or accidentally, either way, it's a very high-risk program. Because then Krishna may say, well, you're not, I'm very sorry, but you're not qualified to enter into my Nityalila, you know. Better you go up with these Sakama devotees here, and you can still be my devotee, no problem. But you know, Braj is not the place for you. We don't keep your kind in Braj, so you're very nice, that's fine. So I will send you up to Devaloka, and I've said many times, sometimes Prabhupada said, most of my disciples are going to the heavenly planets. And it is my feeling that either Srila Prabhupada will expand on the heavenly planets and preach to former ISKCON devotees and the Gaudiya Math devotees who went up there also, either Prabhupada will personally expand, or it'll be Narada Muni. The chances are very high that it'll be Narada Muni. Because Narada Muni, I've mentioned several times, has a very parental interest in this movement, and he keeps an eye on it. You know, he keeps an eye on this movement, so he knows what we're doing. I told you about New York City when somebody walked in, supposedly a karmi, and said, "Ha! Much is chanting Hare Krishna." The devotees asked, who was that? And Prabhupada said, oh, that was, like it was no big deal. He said, oh, that was Narada Muni. You're English speaking, sir? Yes? You understand? So he keeps an eye on this movement. So the chances are very good that those devotees that end up on the heavenly planets, that their guru will be Narada Muni. Because lesser persons, like King Prachin Barisat, he was certainly in a lower position as ISKCON devotee. Narada Muni would be very pleased to preach to former ISKCON devotees. He'd be very happy. You know, oh, welcome to Devaloka. Now let's see what we can do to revive your Krishna consciousness. You know. So it wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, he's got the power, you know. He can move at the speed of mind, you know. Everywhere. Beyond the speed of mind, actually. The ultimate Paribhajakacharya, you know. You know the meaning, Prabhu? Yes. What's it mean? Everywhere? Yes, specifically everywhere and anywhere. Doesn't matter. Forest, mountains, heavenly planets, And Narada Muni goes down to hellish planets also. He goes down to lower planets sometimes, you know. He's welcomed even by the demons. Incredible. Such an adhikar he has that even the demons respect him. Just see, you know. We see that in the Krishna book, that as soon as Narada Muni said to Kamsa, watch out, you know. Whatever Narada Muni said, Kamsa listened. He didn't consider him the enemy. He's guru of the devas, but it never even crossed Kamsa's mind. He trusted him so much that he's such a sadhu, never tells a lie, he thinks. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is ascertained. Of course, ascertained means discovered or determined to be the original cause of creation. Sridhar Swami, in his commentary, Bhavata Deepika, replies to the idea that Prakriti and Purusha are the causes of cosmic manifestation. That's the same thing that I was saying, practically, you know, Prakriti and Purusha. As stated herein, Param Pradhanam Purusham Visham Anyam. He is the supreme cause represented as the male and female creative energies. Although different from this universe, he exists in his universal form throughout the Rupa. The word Prakriti, which is used to indicate the source of generation, refers to the material energy of the Supreme Lord. Of course, once again, material energy means Prakriti, or Mahamaya is also emanating from Srimati Radharani. So therefore, either way, you see, it can be taken either way. And the word Purusha refers to the living entities who are the superior energy of the Lord. Both the Prakriti and Purusha ultimately enter the Supreme Lord. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Prakritim Yanti Mamikam. Enter. So enter the Supreme Lord indicates Mahavishnu. That at the end, when a time comes, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, the whole show is only temporary. It's perfect language, perfect description, infallible description. Whole show of the production of the Mahatattva is only temporary. Then when it winds up in like a road show, drama, you know, or Broadway musical show, breaks down, after doing so many months, or if it's a really hit show, they might stay a year or more in one city. And after a while, when you know, everybody's seen the show already and the audience starts to thin out, then they break down and they move on to another city because it's become chewing the chewed. So they don't go back to see the show. They might go back once or twice, but not going to go back. They're not going to go back to see the show 5 or 10 times. Besides, in America, those kind of shows are going to cost you at least 1,000 rupees or more per show, at least, you know. So they're not going to go back again and again. So, where do they go? They go, everybody, including Lord Brahma, goes into the, when the whole show is wound up, everybody goes into the body of Mahavishnu. And then they take a nap. Well, Mahavishnu is in his yoga nidra, and after some time he breathes out again and the whole show again becomes manifest. This is going on. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the cause of Prakriti and Purusha. He is the original cause, Sarvakarna Karnam. The Naridya Purana says, Avikaropi Paramaha Pratistu Vikarini Anupravishya Govindaha Pargatish Chavidiyate. By both Prakriti and Purusha, which are inferior and superior energies, are emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Explained in the Bhagavad Gita, Gam Avishya, the Lord enters the Prakriti. So that's the Mahatattva. And then the Prakriti creates different manifestations. And this is carried out because the jivas are impregnated into the womb of material nature. When that phrase, into the womb of material nature, that phrase is used in the Shastra, it's not a metaphor. Understand? You know what metaphor means? It's not a figure of speech. It's not poetic language. It's fact. The living yetis are literally impregnated into the womb of material nature. It must be taken literally. It's not analogy, it's not mythology, it's not mere poetic words. It may be poetic words, but not poetic words without substance. Not flowery words. But in contrast, Krishna says the flowery words of the Vedas. So he's criticizing the Vedas. But the Bhagavad version is maybe flowery words only in the best sense. Champak. You know, best quality of flowers. That kind of flowery words. So, everything then is coming from Krishna. So they're acknowledging this. They're acknowledging the position of Lord Vishnu as the source. And Prabhupada is emphasizing Bhagavad Gita 10:8, Naham Sarvasya Prabhavo Mata Sarvam Vartate Iti Matva Bhajante Mam Buddha Bhava Samanvita. I am the source of all the spiritual material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Worship me with all their hearts. So Krishna consciousness is a heart process. If we don't give our hearts to Krishna, the heart has to go somewhere. Heart is going to go to family. Heart is going to go to dog. Heart is going to go to friends. Heart is going to go to business associates. Heart is going to go somewhere. Because it's the nature of jiva. The heart must find a home. It cannot remain isolated. It's not possible. It must find a home. Because we are in this dependent nature. So, what kind of home? So here we see that Krishna says, worship me with all, my devotees, they worship me with all their hearts. So we want to become Krishna conscious, that has to be our program. We want to make it all our hearts. The more we hold out, the more we get cheated out of the real essence. Therefore, Krishna says, you know, all of them, meaning every living entity, as they surrender unto me, I reward accordingly. So according to our degree of, to what extent, ultimately surrender is not just external. That we have to understand. So many devotees in our society, they surrender their life to service. But it won't last unless they surrender their heart along with their body and mind. So, I mean, you know, Tridanda Sanya is supposed to be body, mind, words. There are so many meanings to Atma. So body and mind are both meanings of Atma. So the point is the heart has to be surrendered to Krishna. Otherwise the body after some time will say, wait a minute, I'm not getting what I want. I should go for sex. The body wants something. Like the devas, they want something. So the body wants something. The body wants to eat. The body wants sex. Well, the body is going to want things. So there must be Atma in a higher sense. Param Dishtinivartate, higher taste. So this statement by Krishna, they give their hearts to me. This is essential to understand. If we don't do that, I may be devotee, 5-year devotee, 10-year devotee, 15-year devotee. One of my godbrothers, a close friend of mine, who is now, I don't know, can't be that far away from my age, maybe he's 60 or something like that, or maybe 55 or something like that. He was a brahmachari for many long years. And I think he got married around age 40 or 40-something. He got married. At such a late age, he got married. And then he sent me an email. He said, I did Varnashram backwards. He admits, I did Varnashram backwards. He has a 10-year-old daughter now. Well, she's a very wonderful little Vaishnavi. But she's only 10 years old, you know, so... Of course, he's doing very well in his Krishna consciousness. He still travels around, preaches wonderfully, everything's... He's a good preacher. But he said, I did Varnashram backwards. So, our heart we have to give. Otherwise... The mind, remember that the mind is situated in the heart. We have to forget the Western model. I don't know what they taught you. You ever take psychology at school? No. There's no emphasis placed on it in India, you know. Generally, they'll teach that the mind is located, they think that the mind is located out of the brain. Because they know the brain is the hard drive of the computer. And there are so many chips there in the brain. That's actually a fact, but they're software. They're not hardware, they're software. So they know that the brain is the computer. They know this. But the mind, the Vedic understanding of the mind, is out of the heart. So we don't give our mind with love to Krishna, Priti Purvakam. And we don't give our mind with love to Krishna, then the heart must go somewhere else, because the mind and heart are together, so it'll go somewhere else, you see. It'll go towards sex, it'll go towards, I want a warm and fuzzy translation. You don't speak English. Baba, come on, you don't speak English. I know you don't speak English. They're giving nice translation. Anyways, I'm just almost done. I'm done in a moment. So, we have to keep an eye on the condition of our heart. That's called honesty. And the Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, the introspective sage. Introspection means looking within. What's really going on? What are my internal workings actually? As I become senior devotee, I should become harsh, rude, offensive, develop a know-it-all attitude, get really puffed up, lord it over other devotees, be inconsiderate of other devotees. Excuse me? That's advancement in Krishna consciousness? Never. And it's disservice to Guru. Big time! Disservice to Guru. We are supposed to become like Guru. Otherwise, frankly, if I cannot become like Guru, I'm not a real disciple. That's a fact. I may be an admirer. That's okay. No problem. I may be some kind of follower. Okay, sure. I may accept my guru as a mentor. Okay. Or I may accept guru as pet. That's not okay. This is going on. Fashion. Some people have fluffy dog. Wealthy people have fluffy white dog, and nowadays some people having guru. And I don't make much distinction between fluffy white dog and guru. With something for their enjoyment. You see, oh Maharaj, can you please bless my baby? Oh, we can do, no problem, but there's more to Krishna consciousness. Anyways, I'll just complete. worship with all their hearts, the real devotees. In Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.33, the Lord also says, Aham evasam evagre, only I existed before the creation. This is confirmed in Brahmanda Purana. To generate the universe, the Lord acts indirectly as a Purusha and directly as a Prakriti. Because both energies emanate from the Lord Vasudev, the all and pervasive Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is known as both Prakriti and Purusha. Therefore, Vasudev is the cause of everything, Sarva Karana Karanam. So, once again, quoting from Brahma Samhita, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing how Krishna is the cause of all causes. And the devas are worshipping Lord Vishnu, and that's all right, there's no problem. Although they're sort of Sakama devotees, but we see there's sweetness in the relationship of Lord Vishnu and the devas. How big-hearted is Lord Vishnu? They're Sakama devotees. They're so full, they're drinking all this soma ras, so much sex is going on. But when they're in a crunch, then out of loving affection, Lord Vishnu comes riding on in Garuda, and he joins in the fight just for the fun of it. Isn't it, Ravi? Just for the fun of it. Lord Vishnu doesn't have to personally come. He likes to fight sometimes. So he comes and backs up he shows his support for the devas by, you could say, physically appearing on the battlefield and fighting on behalf of the devas. He doesn't have to do that at all, actually. He doesn't have to do anything, Shastra says. He doesn't have to do anything. He's Atmarama. The Lord doesn't have to do anything. It's clearly the Siddhanta. He doesn't have to do anything. But what he does because he wants to. So he likes to go and help out his devotees, you know, in a fatherly way. Like, you know, some kid at school complains to Dad, Dad, oh my God, I mean, oh, these people are beating up on me, what am I going to do? No problem, son, Dad comes to school. Yeah! Knock it off! Leave my son alone!
Yes, sir.
You know. So, there's sweetness in the ras between the devas and Lord Vishnu, that he's just so kindly helping them out all the time, backing them up when they're in a crunch, and he's willing to overlook that they're Sakama devotees because they're his devotees. But we should always remember our path. Everyone say please for closing. Everyone say Anya Vilasita Sunyam Gyana Kamari Anavitam Anokalya. Again. Abhidhasana sunyam gyana kamara anavritam anukalina krishna nu shinanam bhakti uttama. One more time, loudly. Abhidhasana sunyam gyana kamara anavritam anukalina krishna nu shinanam bhakti uttama. So uttama means the path of devotional service is the ultimate. Pure devotional service. Worship of the Lord Shri Krishna is the highest. This is conclusion by Srila Rupa Goswami. Okay, thank you very much. Jagaguru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granchana Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nita Gopala Manandi Hari Hari Bol.